The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Good morning and welcome to Get Up. A lot to get into, including scandal in D.C. Allegations of sexual harassment against members of Daniel Snyder's inner circle will have the very latest. Plus, an unhappy Cowboy, and it's not Dak. Ezekiel Elliott went off on Twitter, and we'll tell you what's behind that. And Zion, he left the bubble suddenly. What has to happen for him to make it back before the season resumes? And once again, good morning. I am Ryan Smith in for Mike Greenberg. This is Get Up, and we will be here with you until 10:15 a.m. when First Take begins. But today we begin with a big story out of D.C. A lot going on in sports, but this is the biggest. It broke last night, and it was a story published by The Washington Post. 15 former female employees of the Washington football team and two female reporters have accused members of the team's front office of sexual and verbal harassment. Now, the accusations span from 2006 to 2019. They include longtime radio voice Larry Michael, director of pro personnel Alex Santos, and his assistant Richard Mann. All members of owner Daniel Snyder's inner circle. All three suddenly departed the organization within the past week. Now, Snyder and former longtime general manager Bruce Allen have not been accused of harassment, but some of the women said it was unlikely Snyder and Allen didn't know about the behavior. The team has hired a D.C. attorney to review their culture and the allegations of workplace misconduct. And one of the accusers, Emily Applegate, spoke out about the culture.
I had a week maybe or so that was great. And I was like, yes, this is exactly what I wanted and what was explained to me. And this is going to be great. And then, you get your first like screaming at you for something that it's not your fault. And then somebody makes a comment to you about what you're wearing and it just snowballs from there. And it really took most people no time to comment on my appearance.
Now, Snyder has had no comment, but head coach Ron Rivera, who was hired this offseason, he sent this text to ESPN reporter John Keim. He said, the biggest thing is that we have to move forward from this and make sure everybody understands we have policies that we will follow and that have an open door policy with no retribution. Plus, my daughter works for the team, and I sure as hell am not going to allow any of this. So, for more on this explosive story, we bring in Jeff Darlington. Now, Jeff, I know you've been in and around the Washington facility covering the team. You've been there probably 100 times or more, you've mentioned. What's your reaction to this story, given your observations of being in and around the organization?
Well, Ryan, it's interesting because I certainly can't speak to the allegations that these women are talking about when it comes to the Washington Redskins organization or Washington organization. But what I can tell you is that having been there, having spent so much time around the organization, and also having visited all 31 other teams numerous times, is that there is really no place in the league like that organization when it comes to the class system that exists. There's Dan Snyder and his inner circle, and there's everybody else. And I can tell you, speaking with dozens of people over the years, this is a widely held feeling about the organization, that if you are not in that inner circle, you're generally not treated all that well. It is certainly a cultural issue when it comes to the Washington football organization. Now look, Ron Rivera is coming in there. He is one of the most respected people in the NFL. Bruce Allen is no longer a part of the organization. But Dan Snyder remains the owner. This is certainly something worth monitoring to see if, just because he has made changes when it comes to Ron Rivera, if he himself is willing to also make changes across the organization. So, certainly not going to come as a surprise to many people who cover the organization, whether it's local media or lower level members of the organization. They simply have not been treated well for years within that building. And unless something is changed by Dan Snyder, that will continue to happen, Ryan.
It is very interesting that Dan Snyder doesn't have comment. Ron Rivera speaks out and says, we're trying to change the culture. Jeff, stick around. We'll talk about this with you a little bit more as we go forward. But let's now welcome in ESPN NFL reporter Kimberly Martin, also Damian Woody and Booger McFarland. And Kimberly, I want to start with you. You've covered the team during this time period. What did you make of these accusations, given what you saw in and around the organization?
I was a beat writer for the Washington Post. I was not surprised by any of this. As a woman in covering the NFL, not surprised by any of this. I'm also a little concerned that people seem so surprised because we had the cheerleader story a couple years ago written by the New York Times. So these situations keep cropping up with this owner. So while these allegations are heinous and they're disgusting, there's been some talk before. This shouldn't really be surprising to anyone.
And that's what makes this, I think, for so many people, so troubling, Damian Woody, because you heard the cheerleader story, now this story, and you wonder what's happening there. What are your thoughts on this?
Well, first of all, from a macro perspective, this kind of gives you a glimpse into what women go through in the sports industry, period. You know, that shouldn't be surprising to anyone, as unfortunate as it is. And, you know, just speaking to the Washington football team, usually toxic environments is a result of toxic leadership. And we've seen from the Washington football team, Tom, at multiple, we've seen multiple incidences where there's been accusations or incidences where it involves women within that organization. So, you know, the question I have is where is Dan Snyder? Is he in a bunker somewhere? Because we're seeing Ron Rivera, who just came into the organization, who was just hired to the organization, having to be the face of the franchise on multiple fronts, that, you know, talking about the name change of the organization then, and now with this bombshell story from the Washington Post.
Yeah, it almost seems as if he's the de facto leader in all of this, even though Dan Snyder runs the ship. So, Booger, I look at this situation and I wonder what's happening from the top. Why isn't Dan Snyder saying something? I wonder what you think about that.
Well, I think Dan Snyder should be out saying something. And just to kind of open the story up a little bit, this is a continuation kind of what we've seen in the Black Lives Matter movement, just how you treat black people, whether you're commenting on how they look, what they're wearing. And women have been dealing with this for a long time. And so I just think this story is just a continuation of what we've been dealing with in our country for the last several weeks. And I think if you're the Washington Redskins, more importantly, if you're the NFL, you got to do a thorough investigation and find out what happened, what's going on. I think it's a shame that Ron Rivera, who's only been on the job a few months, he's kind of the adult in the room. He's come in and he's basically said, hey, my daughter works for this team. I'll be damned if we're going to have treatment like that toward women with my daughter working in the building. That's what you want to hear from leadership. That's what you want to hear from someone in charge. I think people in Washington wish that the person talking was not the head coach and more the owner. I think that will come across better. But even nevertheless, I still appreciate what Ron Rivera is doing. And I hope they get to the bottom of what's happening, because this comes down to a simple rule. Treat people how you want to be treated. That's what we've been discussing during the Black Lives Matter movement. That's what we're discussing now with women. The ethical treatment of how you treat people. You should not be singled out for your physical features, what you're wearing, the color of your skin. You should be singled out for the job you do, how well you do it. And I think that's what ultimately black people and women want the same.
Yeah, and guys, I think, and Kimberly, I want to direct this to you. I think about the paradox that these women went through, according to this article, feeling like they had no one to turn to about these complaints or they could lose their job. I think one of the quotes mentioned in there was, there's 1,000 people who would want the job that you have. So that put them in a difficult spot. What do you make of this and how women were treated in the Redskins organization in and around it?
Yeah, I'll speak as a journalist. I feel like that's our story. When you're a woman journalist covering, you know, the NFL, whether you're in business, whether you're in any industry, when you're in a male-dominated industry, you understand that sometimes people aren't going to have your back. Sometimes you don't know where to go. As a reporter, you know, I've covered a lot of teams. I've been a lot of places. You know, some of these events where you're out, you know, there are inappropriate things that are said to you, and you brush it off. And to me, what I want people to understand is, for me, reading that story as somebody who covered this team for the Washington Post, as somebody who's covered the NFL for over a decade, there's so many things that come back that you pushed to the back of your head for so many years because you're like, I've got to do the job. You know, I used to cover Damian Woody. I used to cover the Jets. Like, there are a lot of things that I've sort of had to just say, like, okay, push through that to do the job. And when you read other women talking about their situations, it really does come back, and it is emotional because there's so much mental baggage and mental gymnastics that you have to just sort of wade through to stand in a locker room, to stand in a press room, to do this job, and to stand and not make the story about you. You don't want to be the problem, but sometimes you have to speak up, and you hope that people in positions of power will listen.
And you wonder if this will change things within that organization. That will be key. Guys, thank you so much, and stay right there. We'll come back to you and talk more about this. But the NFL, by the way, released a statement on this morning. They said, quote, "These matters, as reported, are serious, disturbing, and contrary to the NFL's values. Everyone in the NFL has a right to work in an environment free from any and all forms of harassment. Washington has engaged outside counsel to conduct a thorough investigation into these allegations. And the club has pledged that it will give its full cooperation to the investigator, and we expect the club and all employees to do so. We will meet with the attorneys upon the conclusion of their investigation and take any action based on the findings." All right, a lot more coming up on Get Up, including the D word in Dallas. I'm talking divorce. See which of our experts think Dak could end up somewhere else after 2020. And we've already revealed Patrick Mahomes, Christian McCaffrey, Aaron Donald, and Stephon Gilmore as members of the Madden 99 Club. We'll unveil the fifth and final member. That's coming up on Get Up. Get Up is brought to you by GEICO. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance. And let's go down to Big D. Cowboys running back Ezekiel Elliott. Man, did he go on a Twitter rant yesterday, showing frustration at those who question that he isn't among the elite running backs in the NFL. Here's a peek at some of his tweets. Take a look at this. This went around yesterday morning. "There are a lot of great backs in this league, but I don't understand why the media has to talk down on my game just to uplift other backs. We are all talented football players and can all ball." And then this, "Check the stats. Since I entered this league, I have dominated year in, year out. Put some respect on my name." Then this, "Women lie, men lie. The stats don't. Go do your homework." Then this, "Almost 1,800 scrimmage yards and 14 TDs with no training camp. And now I'm not the same back?" Woo, he was mad. Let's bring in our guys and talk a little bit about this. I'll tell you what, he's not playing. Let's bring back in Booger. We got Dominique Foxworth with us and Damian Woody. All right, so guys, Booger, let me start with you. What do you think? Does he have a point here? Is he disrespected, and where was he ranked for you among the current backs?
Well, is he disrespected? That just depends on who you're talking to. He's right. There are a lot of great backs in this league, and you don't have to put some of those guys down to elevate another guy. What I would say about Ezekiel Elliott is, based on the style of offense that they run in Dallas, he's the best fit for it. He's led the league in rushing 3 out of the 4 years that he's been in the league, and the 1 year he didn't, he missed 6 games. And so if you're looking for a guy that can get the ball and come downhill and punish a defense for 25, 30 carries, there is no better. There is no better back in this league that can do that other than Ezekiel Elliott. Now, the catch is, some of these new age offense that come out and major in 11 personnel, which is one back, one tight end, mm-hmm. 3 wide receivers, you want the guy that can catch the football like a Christian McCaffrey. And coming off his historic season last year, where he was 1,000 rushing, 1,000 receiving, a lot of people are on that as the new flavor of the month. But if you're asking me, the guy that I want to carry the mail, the guy that I want to carry the football down in and down out, there is no better, and I mean no better back in this league than Ezekiel Elliott. So I understand where he's coming from. Like, he is, to me, he is the cream of the crop as far as the pure running back position.
Yeah, and Damian, I got to come to you, because I look at him and I say, maybe he invites more scrutiny because he plays for Dallas, but how does he rank among the running backs to you?
Well, first of all, before I say that, who in the media has been bashing Ezekiel Elliott? Please point that out to me, because I would like to know. But I know for me, if I'm ranking running backs, I'm putting Zeke third, because you also have to take into consideration, and Booger talked about it, where the league is. I mean, we're in a passing league where a lot of these teams like to exploit the backs in the passing game. And while I feel like Zeke is the type of back that will come downhill and just ram you to death, there's no question about that. There are a lot of backs out here that can exploit you in the pass game, unlike Ezekiel Elliott does on a week in and week out basis. I know for me, if I'm ranking, I'm putting Zeke third. I got Christian McCaffrey one. Christian McCaffrey to me is the closest thing to Marshall Faulk that we see in this league right now. And then number two, I'm taking Saquon. And I know that Saquon doesn't have the personnel that Zeke has with Dallas as far as the offensive line and such. But when I look at the total package, I'll take Saquon over Zeke. So I have Zeke third.
So maybe the facets of his game aren't there as much as those other guys, but still, Nick, this guy is dominant. He does it year in, year out, and he is, in many ways, the Dallas Cowboy offense starts with him, in many ways.
I mean, I think he's a great running back, and I'm with Damian. I'm not sure who's bashing him or who's not respecting his name, but I would throw out there, I know he's not necessarily the receiver that Christian McCaffrey is, but Zeke is a really good third down back. He can catch the ball. They do have personnel packages where they line him up in the slot to run corner routes and option routes. So he has more pass-catching capability than I think that people expect out of him because he's such a good running back and because the comparison is Christian McCaffrey, who could absolutely start in this league as just a slot receiver. People think that Zeke can't catch, but Zeke can catch. He is a receiving threat. He's a three-down back. He's everything that you want in an offensive running back in this league. But he's right. There's a lot of good ones in this league, and it gets really hard. That's one of the worst things about this job is when you have to say someone's good, it seems like you're implying that someone else is bad, which I hope no one's saying that about Zeke, because he's right. The numbers don't lie. He's been one of the most productive backs in the league since he entered.
And he's clearly one of the cream of the crop. I think we all agree with that. Now, I want to bring you to this. Game Changers, brought to you by the Marines. We're revealing a new member of the 99 Club in Madden NFL 21 every day this week on Get Up. So today's honor goes to the Saints wide receiver Michael Thomas. Laura Rutledge has more on this Saints superstar.
Brees is going to look to throw. Rolling to his right, throws, and it's caught. And guess who?
There's a fair debate of who's the best pass catcher in the league.
Drops back, looks in the slot.
But only one set the NFL record in receptions last season.
You simply can't guard Mike.
He was the only player in the league to average more than 100 yards receiving per game. His elusive short and medium route running, paired with his premier pass-catching ability, has made him the most targeted receiver in the NFL.
What a grab at the front pylon. Michael Thomas right up the seam. Touchdown, Mike Thomas.
Welcome to the 99 Club. Michael Thomas.
The number one, according to Madden, Thomas has nearly 80 more catches than the next closest receiver since he entered the league in 2016. His 470 career receptions are by far the most by a player in his first four NFL seasons. So I want to bring the guys back in. And Dominique, I want to start with you because I seem to recall last Friday I was here and we were talking about top wide receivers. And you said something to the effect, I just want to, you know, I don't want to misquote you, but it was something like, he's definitely not my number one. He's more like a great tight end. Okay? So, you want to double down on that now?
Y'all going to get Mike Thomas coming at me like Zeke Elliott's coming at these other members of the media. So maybe I went a little far with that. However, the difference I was making between him and other receivers is he's not a big play guy. He's obviously one of the best and well-deserving of his 99 rating because of all of his skills. But when I'm looking for a receiver, if we're picking from the top five receivers, obviously I take Mike Thomas as a receiver on my team. But if I get to pick who I want somebody with more big play ability. And if you look at Mike Thomas's stats, they are mind-blowing. But his average yards for reception is pretty low considering the type of receiver that he is. And that's in part because of the offense. Maybe that's in part because Drew Brees' arm isn't what it used to be and Michael Thomas has to run these routes in this style of offense. But I want somebody that's going to blow the top off the defense, and that's not who Mike Thomas is. Now, if I can't have Tyreek Hill or Julio Jones, obviously, I'm taking Mike Thomas, and he's as good as it gets in this league. But as a former DB, the speed and the big playability scares me more than anything else. Mike Thomas might mosh you or push you down and embarrass you that way, but he's not running past the best DBs in this league.
Yeah, not a big play guy, you say. Okay, I'll just put that out there. I don't want him to come after you, but I just want to make sure I understood.
I feel like you're baiting him. You're trying to get me jumped on by Mike Thomas.
I just want to make sure I'm understanding what you're saying.
I'm preemptively apologizing, Mike Thomas. Please don't come for me. We all know you're real. I just like a little more speed on my receiver.
Woody, come on in. Maybe you need to save Nick. What do you think?
delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut, or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than 1 rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code Parlay and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code Parlay. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Damian, what do you think?
Oh, man, listen, I agree with everything that Nick was saying. If I had my druthers and I'm picking wide receivers, I'm going Julio 1. I'm going Julio 1, DeAndre Hopkins 2, Michael Thomas 3, for a lot of reasons that Nick talked about. When I think of the one thing that you can't teach in this league is speed. And when you talk about Julio Jones, you're talking about a receiver that's 6'3", 220, and can still blow the top off the defense, can still moss you, still a pristine route runner. So I'm taking all of those qualities with Julio Jones over Michael Thomas. And Michael Thomas catches everything that's in his path. But I want the receiver that's going to scare defense. And I don't know necessarily if Michael Thomas is going to do that week in and week out. As far as his physical attributes are concerned.
Michael Thomas is getting no love. In fact, our producers are scrambling. They're like, we had all this Michael Thomas footage. Now we're putting up Julio Jones. Booger, get in here. How does he extol for me the positives of Michael Thomas so he can come out of this segment feeling good?
Well, he's got some of the surest hands in football. And I think when you fit him in that offense and you look at how he can uncover, whether it's man coverage or zone coverage, he's one of the best. But, for Dominique to call him a tight end, I think Dominique's mentions and Dominique's cell phone is going to be blowing up with all the Michael Thomas fans. But I do know what Dominique means, because if you look at where Michael Thomas catches the football, it's between 0 and 15 to 20 yards. The overwhelming majority of his catches are right there. But the other receivers that Damian Woody mentioned, when you talk about Julio Jones, oh, by the way, I think he's the best. DeAndre Hopkins, he will be my number 2, and Michael Thomas is number 3. Those receivers can get down the field more vertically. So it just depends on what you want and how you fit in the offense. For the New Orleans Saints offense, Michael Thomas is the perfect fit. His rapport with Drew Brees, his ability to uncover in man or zone coverage, fits perfectly in that offense. But when you look at what they did in Houston with Deshaun Watson and DeAndre Hopkins, what they did in Atlanta with Matt Ryan and Julio Jones, those guys fit better because of the vertical speed that they bring to the game. But let's be honest. Just like with the running back position, the wide receiver position, you can't go wrong. Julio, DeAndre, and Michael Thomas, those three have separated themselves at the top, and they are the cream of the crop. So don't be mad, Michael Thomas, if Dominique calls you a tight end. He's just having a bad morning. He didn't get his coffee, and it's okay.
Look, Dominique, I'll give you the last word just quickly.
I saw how you were looking at me sideways. I saw how you were looking at me sideways when I said Saquon. I didn't know if you had a word about that.
Saquon is not above Ezekiel Elliott, Damon Woody.
Well, look, at least Michael Thomas knows he's in the top three. At least he should be happy with that, right? I guess not. Maybe not. Maybe he'll come after all you guys.
I'm
all right, guys, coming up, we are headed to a divorce in Dallas. Are we, actually? What has to happen for Dak to end up somewhere else after 2020? Plus, here's a little sneaky hembo for you. Which of these teams has won the fewest playoff games over the last 20 seasons? Is it A, the Raiders, B, the Cowboys, or C, the Chargers? We'll have the answer when we come back on Get Up.
As much as I love sports, it has nothing in my life compared to music. It's not even close.
When you think about some of the really cool promos that we even do at ESPN, like it all hinges on the balance of, yes, really cool cuts and highlights, but also what song are they using?
I'm 6'3", nerdy, from Stanford, talk on TV, you know, the analyst and all that type of stuff. But when I hit the court, Crime Mob gets me right.
I really like a lot of Latin music, and then obviously I like a lot of hip hop.
It's gonna be random. You're gonna be like, what?
Every time I hear it, I'm like, that's my life.
I feel like if anyone knew that that song like got me fired up, they would be like, who are you?
Hype Hits, ESPN's new, brand new music, I should say. Their new music brand is officially here. Go to ESPN.com/Hype Hits for more information, including how to start listening. All right, back to a little sneaky hembo time, shall we? Which of these teams has won the fewest playoff games over the last 20 seasons? Is it A, the Raiders, B, the Cowboys, C, the Chargers? Let's bring in Damian Woody to answer this question. Damian, who do you got?
I'm going to go A, the Raiders.
And you would be wrong. It's the Cowboys. They've won only three. How could you not get the Cowboys? To me, that's like the easiest answer to give. You still there? And by the way, can I mention the Eagles have won 14 over that time? So let's just put that out there. Anyway, speaking of the Cowboys, with Wednesday's deadline to produce a long-term deal come and gone, Dak Prescott will play the 2020 season under a franchise tag. But don't feel bad for Dak. He's going to earn $31.4 million to play under center for Jerry Jones and the Cowboys. But guys, I have to think for the long-term prospects, and let's bring back in Damian Woody, Booger McFarland, Dominique Foxworth. I have to think for the long-term, Dominique, this is not a good situation for either side just in terms of a long-term deal. How bad would it have to get in Dallas for, let's say, Dallas to decide, hey, we got to move on from Dak after this season?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think that there's any chance that they move on from him after this season. I think because of franchising him, there's a possibility that the cap constraints make it so that they can't keep him. But I think the NFL and the Players Association will be smart enough to negotiate some way to smooth the cap and move money so that teams don't lose players like this. However, after 2 years, I can't see Dak going back to Dallas because he's only getting more and more leverage. He's only going to expect more and more money. And if the Cowboys weren't willing to give him what he wanted now, they're not going to be interested in giving him more for a shorter contract, which is what he'll anticipate. So I think that he's got two seasons. If Jerry Jones wants a Super Bowl in the foreseeable future, they better do it this year or next.
Yeah, and Damian, I have to wonder. I got to put this question to you and Booger, but I want to get your answer first. What do you think the chances are? Do you think Dak will be a Cowboy after the 2020 season?
I think he will. I think they'll franchise him, you know, again next year. But after that, I think he's gone. I think it'll be the Kirk Cousins mode. And listen, let me get a little elbow room to really air this whole thing with Dak Prescott, because this whole thing is just crazy to me. You had the Dallas Cowboys who drafted Dak Prescott in the fourth round. And all he had done is step into the shoes of Tony Romo when Tony Romo was hurt and lead the Dallas Cowboys to the second most wins, only behind Tom Brady since he's been the starting quarterback of the Dallas Cowboys. Now, you would think that a guy who's drafted in the fourth round, you drafted him, you developed him. This should be a tremendous story for the Dallas Cowboys. But how in the world could you have dropped the ball on signing this guy to a long-term extension? I mean, you could have done that a couple seasons ago, extend this guy knowing that, okay, this guy has shown so much promise. He has done everything you've asked for, whether it's been on the field, off the field. He's represented the Dallas Cowboys organization to the highest of levels. And here we are right now in July 2020 talking about the future of Dak Prescott with the Dallas Cowboys. I still can't believe how the Dallas Cowboys have bungled this whole situation with Dak Prescott.
And, you know, the flip side of this, Dan Graziano, and Booger, I want to talk to you about this. Dan Graziano mentioned yesterday, look, the flip side is it seems like, according to the reports, Dak's side wanted 5 years, Dallas wanted more, there were other factors in here, and both needed to come to an agreement. But, Booger, I look at a situation like this, and I say, you know who's happy right now? The Philadelphia Eagles, the New York Giants, the Washington Redskins, everybody in the NFC East who is now looking at Dallas and saying, hey, they might be without Dak. Who knows who their starting quarterback might be next year or the year after? They've got that turmoil. We're looking good. And I wonder how this all ends up playing out in Dallas for a team that seemingly locking up Dak Prescott should have been a no-brainer.
Yeah, Ronnie, it should have been a no-brainer, but let's understand who we're dealing with here. It's Jerry Jones and Stephen Jones. These are big boy businessmen. And to me, this comes down to business and how much cash of an investment you're willing to make. Dak Prescott wanted 4 years. Why? Because after 3 years of that deal, that gives you an opportunity to come back to the table and get another bite at the apple. Where Jerry Jones is saying, okay, I want 5 years because that's going to push any type of renegotiating out for at least 4 years, and now I can spread this huge signing bonus that you want across the 5 years. Jerry Jones, being a businessman, loves to make investments, sound investments. For whatever reason, inside the Cowboy organization, they don't feel like giving Dak a 4-year deal is a sound business investment. However, if you look at the deal that was on the table, you can't say that they don't want Dak Prescott, because James Slater of NFL Network reported it's a 5-year deal that was on the table between 33 and 35 with $110 million guaranteed. That doesn't say to me, we don't want you. That says to me, hey, we want you, but we want you at our own price. And guys, Dominique and Woody, you both know this. It takes two to negotiate. So we're talking about the Dallas Cowboys as if it's all on them. There was a deal on the table. The two sides together could not come to an agreement. So I think there's some of the owners has to be put on the Cowboys, and some of the owners has to be put on Dak, because Dak and his camp has made a decision. We want a 4-year deal. And in that 4-year deal, we want to be able to come back to the table after 3 years. So, in other words, we want another bite at the apple before we turn 30. So the onus has to go on both sides. We cannot put it all on the Cowboys.
Need a couple seconds left. Go ahead.
You can put the onus on both sides. However, at the end of the day, there's only going to be one loser in this process, and that's the Dallas Cowboys, because their alternative is much worse than Dak Prescott's alternative. Dak Prescott's alternative is the hit-free agency, the thing we all dream of as professional athletes. The Cowboys' alternative is to go in the crapshoot of trying to find a quarterback in the draft again. So I understand you can blame whoever you want, but there's only one loser in this process, and it ain't Dak Prescott.
All right, guys, we'll keep talking about this, because there's a lot more to unpack with Dak. So stick around, but I want to get to this before we have a chance to just kind of move forward. Tiger Woods, you know, he's back in action, making his return to golf at the Memorial on Thursday. There he is. Check him out at the third hole, par 4, second shot. 107 yards to the pin, hits a great wedge, spins back and rolls. Look at that, to a foot. Nice shot, Tiger with the birdie, moves to 2-under through 3 holes. Not a bad start, but then 8th hole, par 3, 163 yards out. Tiger does not like that shot. And if you look at that curve right there, you don't like it either. Misses the green, he would bogey, then eventually move back to even. So looking a little uneven at that point, but then 15 hole, par 5, third shot, Tiger, 109 yards to the pin, hits a pitching wedge, and once again, within a foot of the hole, perfect. He would tap in for the birdie, back to 1-under. Now, 18th hole, he sinks this. a 14-footer. Boom, just like that. Tiger, one under, 71. Not a bad day, still in the hunt. And there's a scoreboard for you right there. Tiger not so far off the lead, but some of the big names are still in it. You've got Tiger Woods, his 18th career start at the event, never missed a cut, and still in it at 18. Bryson DeChambeau at 42. Not a bad tournament. And Tiger could make a move up the charts today. Now, coming up, Zion's sudden departure from the bubble. Can he make it back before the season resumes? We're going to have a live report from inside that bubble coming up. Tomorrow night on ESPN, our UFC Fight Night features the flyweight title bout between Davidson Figueroa and Joseph Benavidez. Main event coverage starts tomorrow, 5 p.m. Eastern, with the main card starting at 8 Eastern on ESPN, ESPN Deportes, and the ESPN app. And we are about 15 minutes short of 9 o'clock here on the East Coast. You're watching Get Up. We are live from Bristol, Connecticut. I'm Ryan Smith in for Mike Greenberg. And we're with you till 10:15 a.m. Right after that, First Take will begin. But a big story that crossed our desk last night, and it is quite a scandal in D.C. 15 former employees of the Washington football team and two female reporters have accused members of Daniel Snyder's inner circle of sexual and verbal harassment. Now, no comment yet from Snyder. The team has hired a D.C. attorney to review the allegations. And I want to welcome in Adam Schefter here. He has been all over this story. He has been breaking parts of this story. Adam, what are you hearing right now about the allegations?
Well, Ron, I think this morning the Redskins are going to be put into a position where the team owner, Daniel Snyder, is going to have to respond to these allegations. And Dan Snyder is somebody who likes to stay in the background and not get involved in these sorts of things up close. But this is a very serious situation that demands his attention and deserves comment from him on the particulars of this particular case. Now, this is at a time here where he is embroiled, I think, in a dispute with the minority shareholders of the Washington Redskins. He owns 60% of the team. They own 40% of the team. They have hired a private investment firm to try to vet potential buyers and see what their stakes are in the team would be worth. And so there are a lot of different dynamics at hand. It's interesting that this team also is going forward with a name change at this time. And so you've got a name change, you've got owners who are in a dispute, you've got all these stories leaking out from various parts of the organization at a time where the owners are in dispute. It doesn't take very much to figure out where all this is coming from. And now we've got a situation where the Washington Redskins have commanded the attention in the NFL through the month of July during a pandemic, and it doesn't look like it's going to be going away anytime soon.
And Adam, you mentioned they command the attention now of the NFL. How does the NFL, in your mind, look at this situation and what needs to happen going forward?
Listen, the Washington NFL team was in touch with the NFL before it hired Beth Wilkinson, an attorney in Washington, and a law firm to investigate these charges and to examine the culture that has existed within that organization in previous years. And so it'll be up to Beth Wilkinson to investigate this, to report back to Dan Snyder, to report back to the NFL. And once the NFL sees what Beth Wilkinson uncovers and comes up with, the league will decide whether or not to take action at that point in time, Ryan.
All right, Adam Schefter, thank you so much. And we'll bring in now senior NFL writer for the Undefeated, Jason Reed. He's covered the Washington football team for quite some time. Jason, I know you covered him with the Washington Post. And I want to get a sense from you of what you think about this story and how it comports with what you've seen and been around with this organization over time.
Well, Ryan, unfortunately, nothing that broke yesterday surprised me at all. Covered the team for many years as a beat writer and columnist. And let me just be very blunt about this. Several years ago, I had begun, while I was reporting as a beat writer in the paper, to look into an allegation. I had contacted someone. I had been tipped off to something. I had contacted someone. Ultimately, the person did not want to move forward. So nothing about this surprises me. The culture there is not good. And we are at a point right now where, based on, you know, just what Adam said, I completely agree that there are steps that have to be taken, and the NFL will decide what to do. But This is a very troubling situation because the allegations are not surprising.
And Jason, what also surprises me about this story is, even though there is one denial of allegations from one of the people who is accused of this kind of behavior in the article, there is no sort of, at this point, blanket denial of, hey, this didn't happen. It's not like that. It's almost as if, hey, we want to move forward as part of Ron Rivera's statement. What do you make of that? And also the fact that we're not hearing from Dan Snyder at this point?
Well, let me be very careful about how I say this, because I want to say this the right way. I'm not saying Dan Snyder countenanced these things happening, but they happened on his watch. Mm. The buck stops at the top. He's in charge. And the fact that he did not speak yesterday, I think, was a very beyond disappointing act. When your organization is being accused by this many women of this type of conduct, it is incumbent, in my opinion, on the person at the top of the leadership chart to come out and talk about what we need to do, where we've been, and where we're going. And that did not occur. I mean, we can try to point to different words to explain this, but it's beyond disappointing.
Yeah, and I think, Jason, about the paradox, these women, we talked about this just a while ago, that these things happen to them, this harassment they describe, but having no one to go to, or not knowing who to go to, or feeling like if they go to someone, they could lose their job, their career could be over.
Well, again, my friend, we talk about the culture that's created. We talk about the workplace environment. That was a culture in a workplace environment, and I'm not just basing what I'm saying here on the story. I'm basing it on my own reporting and things that I looked into when I was there. It was just completely broken. And you have women who felt that they had no recourse. In the 2000s, that is ridiculous. And especially in this climate that we've been in the last couple of years, it really shows something that's fundamentally broken and needs to be overhauled from top to bottom.
Okay, Jason, thank you. And stick around. We want to talk to you again in just a little bit more about this story. We are going to continue to talk about that. And then let's take a look at this. The NFL releasing a statement this morning. They've said, quote, "These matters reported are serious, disturbing, and contrary to the NFL's values. Everybody in the NFL has a right to work in an environment free from any and all forms of harassment. Washington has engaged outside counsel to conduct a thorough investigation into these allegations. The club has pledged that it will give its full cooperation to the investigator, and we expect the club and all employees to do so. We will meet with the attorneys upon the conclusion of their investigation and take any action based on the findings." All right, want to turn to this story from inside the bubble, and it's a big one. The Pelicans announcing yesterday that Zion Williamson left the NBA bubble yesterday morning because of an undisclosed urgent family medical matter. Now, Williamson intends to return at some point. Here's his coach, Alvin Gentry.
Don't know anything right now from the standpoint of him coming back. And, you know, obviously for us, we're just very supportive of him and his family and their privacy during this time right now. You know, we played 44 games without him, and we had a tough stretch in there. We also had a stretch where we won 12 out of 16 without him. So obviously he's a great player that we'll miss. But the one thing that we've always talked about, even when we went through the tough times, is that next man up.
Mark Spears joins us live from inside the bubble at Disney World. Mark, it seems a little unclear as to why he left. What are you hearing about that, about why he left at this point?
Look, the Pelicans are keeping it really, really close to the vest, and they've been like that all season with him. You know, this is still a teenager, very, very protective of their future star, and it's a family matter, so I certainly understand that. But when it comes to him coming back, Ryan, it's really, really complicated. You know, his absence of 7 days or less, he has to quarantine 4 days upon his return to the bubble with a negative test needed each day. Longer than a week, he has to quarantine for 4 days. If he has a negative test the final day, 7 days, he is gone. Without a required COVID testing, he will quarantine for 10 days. So the Pelicans will debut on July 30th. They're one of four teams that play in the first day of the resumption. It's not a lot of time between now and then. They have their first scrimmage in just a few days. So yeah, the Pelicans certainly have a lot to worry about in their hopes of trying to get back to the playoffs.
Yeah, and we certainly wish Zion Williamson and his family well with this family matter. I mean, that's first and foremost here, hoping they're okay.
But yes, sir.
I look at this as well, and I say, without him, what are their chances of moving far into the playoff structure?
Yeah, like Alvin said, you know, they played 44 games without him. Brandon Ingram, the all-star, he played most of those games at power forward without Zion. But once Zion came back, he only missed one game. And they have a stretch four by the name of Niccolo Melli. Not the hops that Zion has, not the game that Zion has. I think he averages like seven points a game. He would likely replace Zion at power forward with Ingram staying in the small forward spot. And you know, I think Drew Holiday said it best. He said, you know, as much as it hurts to say, we've done it before in terms of playing without Zion.
Yeah, you got to be able to play in the big moments, and the team is going to pick up the slack. That's what they're saying right now. Mark, thank you so much. Appreciate it. Well, thank coming you. Up on Get Up, find out why Kyler Murray feels disrespected, and get this, why one of our analysts says he might reach MVP status next year. I am not joking. Come back for more Get Up.